All right, folks, as we open up this week's culture segment, we are pleased to have yet another fun friend. And especially when we have our single friends here, we love them because they're one of us. So today is no exception. We have Annie Downs on the phone. Hey, Annie.
Hi, good morning.
Great to have you. Those of you who know Annie or follow her, especially on social media or where she blogs and all that kind of stuff, know that she's an author. She speaks quite a bit. She's involved with you ladies, with the IF gatherings and other things. I was looking at your speaking roster, and it just looks like you're all over the map, including like right now, apparently you're just sitting in a hotel room.
That's right. In Starkville, Mississippi, I'm speaking to a sorority house tonight, which is super fun. A really interesting, a little bit of a different venue, but I'm excited about it.
Those sororities, they can get crazy. So you got to tell them what's what.
That's right. And just remind them that, you know, every little thing matters.
It does.
So we need to be making good choices.
It does. Well, you are quite the author. In fact, we're going to talk today about your latest project, Let's All Be Brave, Living Life with Everything You Have, which apparently you indicate in the front end of the book that this book, as well as your two past ones, you have written largely in coffee shops. So that's
yes.
A lot of consumption right there of coffee.
That's right. I know. Don't look at the budget. But yes, what? It is true. And you know what's even more hilarious is I don't drink coffee.
Okay.
So that's the crazy part.
So,
I know. I drink chai.
Okay.
Or tea.
With soy, right? Or
the,
something?
Yes, soy or almond milk. That's exactly right. Because
okay.
I'm dairy-free. And that's sad.
Well.
No more pizza. No ice cream. This, so disappointing.
Yeah.
Such a boring eating life. But I feel with, you know, and a lot of people experience this. We all have busy lives and busy jobs, and so you have to kind of put in your body what'll make your body run the way it's supposed to. And so
yeah. For
me, that no longer includes milk from cows.
Well, after reading the book, I was kind of calling into question whether or not we could ever be friends after you had your moment.
Oh, no.
Well, you had that moment with the Bananas Foster pancakes where you decided you were going to have to eschew them, and that was very sad to me because I don't want to do that. So,
listen, me neither, sister. I love me some pancakes. Even yesterday, do y'all have Trader Joe's?
No, we are getting it this month. So it's,
Oh, you're going to love it.
It's like
and
the second coming
open,
of Christ
you can
for
wait
us.
In line. Yes,
yeah.
I know. You need to go wait in line when it opens because you get cool stuff if you're one of the first people in the store.
Oh, okay.
Things I know from when I was 25
right.
in Nashville. But they have like this gluten-free pancake mix, and I was like, yes! And then I looked at the ingredients, it was like number two was buttermilk. I was like, okay.
Oh. I totally bought that stuff. I went up because they have it now in Denver, so we have to make the little migration up there. I bought it,
sure.
And I haven't tried going dairy-free yet, so I'm just going to eat it. I'm going to eat my pancake mix.
Yeah, just eat it.
Okay.
And like if you make it with almond milk, you're tons closer to being dairy-free.
Okay.
It's really about the steps, isn't it? It's just about the steps to get there.
It is. You know, and here's my step. When I go to McDonald's, I'm going to get a large fries, but I'm going to only eat like 3/4 of it instead of the whole thing. That's my first step towards better eating.
That is, if you can leave French fries in the bottom of any container, you are going to have a closer seat in heaven than I will, because I cannot do it.
Okay, well, we'll see how it goes down. We'll see. I'm just doing baby steps. Baby steps.
That's right.
All right, well, let's go ahead and dive into this book, because this is a really a fun read, and this is a great application for anyone who, you know, we talk to people all the time on this show who are like, am I living the life I was meant to live? Is this where God wants me to be? What should I do? I want to do all these things, but I'm fearful to give it a shot, or am I really even capable of this? And so people are going to be all just twisted up going into reading this book.
Yeah. And you know what's so interesting is even the joke of just like talking about the French fries, I mean, that really is what brave looks like. Brave looks like these everyday little steps that lead you to the next brave thing. It doesn't have to be these massive moves across the world or total job changes or like these big, huge steps. It looks like I'm going to eat less fries than I did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to send one email that makes me nervous that I wouldn't have sent yesterday. So I think, we're right on. It's about the everyday courage things that I think are what make the difference in the long run.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, I mean, obviously there are many probably reasons that you, you know, put pen to ink for this book, but what, other than people saying brave is a cool thing, brave is probably, you know, Jesus was brave, that whole idea.
Yeah.
What is really the value in being brave? What is, if you put two lives together, one is one of safety and comfort and whatever, and the other mm-hmm. one is stepping out, being brave, even in these small ways, what's the value in that for the believer, Annie?
Well, you know, I think it's how we were meant to be. I think we were meant to not operate under the idea that whatever the fear voices say is what we need to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there is caution and wisdom. And, you know, if you hear in your head it's dangerous to jump out of a plane without a parachute, you're right. You mm-hmm. know, like, you don't need to ignore that and be like, no, I'm going to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there are caution voices. But I really think that God created us to be brave and to make brave choices. Now, what I think Christian culture has done to some degree, and this was my experience growing up in a church, was that they really defined for me, this is what brave looks like. If you do this, the church thinks you're brave. If you do this, the church thinks you're brave. And it was all these things that I didn't want to do with my life. I didn't want to move to Africa. Mm-hmm. I don't like being hot. I like the internet. You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't want to live in a hot hut, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was never what I pictured as my life. I wanted to be a school teacher. I wanted to teach elementary school, and I wanted to coach high school sports. And so I kind of grew up thinking, oh, well, there are levels to being a Christian, and I'm never going to be at the best level because I'm not willing to move to Africa or move far away or give up these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the older I got, the more I started to realize that as we pursue what God has put in our heart individually, uniquely, each of us are so different. If we go after, like, here's what this looks like for me to be brave, for me to be different, for me to go after the things that God's put in me, that's what changes the world. Not all of us looking at the mold and going, okay, I'm to be the best Christian, I have to look like that. Instead, it's more like, okay, how did God make me? And what does it look like for me to go after these brave things in my life, even if someone else doesn't think it's brave or it's not labeled as brave by our culture, to go, no, that was hard for me to do that, to send that email, to volunteer to play guitar for the first time at our youth group at my church, to go on a date with a guy that I don't know very well from our church or from online or whatever, you know, just kind of these little brave steps. I think if we all do that, that's what's going to really impact our culture.
Yeah. And you really do make a point in the book near the beginning about the value of just starting, just doing something. And kind of we talked about that a little bit. And you use the example of even as you began to write, you know, that fear of like staring at a blank screen and figuring out what in the world, what words am I going to put on here? But to just do that one next thing. What are some other ways? And I'm going to get into here a little bit talking about a couple of your moves that you made, too. But what are some good examples for young adults of small ways that they can take one step that's going to just move them into a little bit of decision making that may end up opening up a huge opportunity?
Yeah, you know, when I look in my life at moments like that and opportunities like that, and a lot of the young adults that I know, I think of things like going on a mission trip,
mm-hmm.
even if it's local and or volunteering at your church. I lead a small group of college students, college girls, and I said, okay, next Easter, we're all going to volunteer on Sunday morning, even if that makes you nervous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could be that easy as, like, volunteering at your church. I think it could be, have you always wanted to learn another language? Are you just willing to Google what it would take to learn that language? Or have you always had a dream in your heart to sing? Have you told anybody? Could you just tell one person? You know, I think that's the power to just start, to just do those first little steps of like, okay, I'm going to say out loud that I have a dream to do something, or that I want to try something, or that I want to go somewhere. Because once you say it out loud, it kind of gets a little bit of its own life, and you get to go after, okay, now that I've said that out loud, what would the next step be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so, and to that point, a couple of the examples that you do share are of a couple moves that you made. The first one, you know, having grown up in Georgia, and then you kind of walk through this story that's a little bit bizarre of the decision to move to Nashville. which I'm kind of like, okay, if all of this is about the next step, like that seemed like kind of this crazy out of the blue thing. So if not everything can be that drastic, how did you even come to that conclusion that Nashville would be a good idea, that you should even uproot and go there? And how did you reconcile that really that was a necessary step?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't the next step I wanted at the time. It wasn't even really a dream in my heart. I had already started writing, and I had pursued writing to some degree as far as going to writers' conferences and taking those little steps of like, okay, what would it look like if I wrote for a magazine? What would it look like if I started a blog? You know, I kind of had started my writing like that. And then, I mean, really the Nashville thing came. I had felt some unsettling on my insides. And when I'd pray, I'd feel like, man, something is changing. I need to, like, pay attention. It feels like change is coming. It's almost like when you're watching storm clouds. Mm-hmm. It's not raining on you yet, but you're recognizing that it is going to rain. And that's kind of how I felt. I felt like there was something moving and shifting, but I couldn't really identify what it was. And then really, I mean, as you read in the book, the Lord just kind of dropped it on me and just kind of dropped the city of Nashville in my heart. And I thought, well, I don't want to go there. I don't have friends there. I don't have any people. I mean, that's all I keep thinking is I didn't have any people. I didn't have any people there. And that's kind of the currency that matters most to me is where are my people? And I didn't have any people there. And as you read through that chapter, there were all these little moments where I was like, okay, well, if the Lord does this, or if this works out, if my house sells, if I can find a place to live, if, you know, all these, like, checkpoints along the way that kept being a green light. And all of a sudden, you know, 8 months after that first time I thought, maybe I'm supposed to move to Nashville, I lived in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, and then you ended up in another move that you kind of didn't want. You had the opportunity to go and live in Edinburgh. And
yes,
basically, you know, it's funny that, you know, folks, you have to read this, the descriptor of it, because it's actually very funny. Her talking about how, you know, okay, this is a missions thing I can do because they speak English and they have Starbucks and
right. All
this kind of stuff. So that was awesome. But then you realize that maybe God sadly is calling you back to the States in a move that you probably didn't want to make. And so were you kind of trying to look, maybe throw a few other fleeces out to make sure that maybe that wasn't quite what he was telling you?
Exactly. That's exactly, you know, and the interesting thing was I moved to Nashville in 2008 and the opportunity to move to Edinburgh, Scotland came in 2011, January 2011 is when the conversation was real with the church over there. And I remember thinking, this is so much easier than Nashville, you know, which is hilarious because Nashville and Atlanta are 3 hours apart and Nashville and Edinburgh, Scotland are 18 hours in an airplane apart, you know. But because I'd seen, I mean, the Lord just knew exactly what I needed because I'd seen him be faithful in that little 3 hour car ride of a move. And I thought, okay, I had no people. He gave me people. I had no home. He gave me home. I had no job. He gave me a job. I mean, the Lord just provided over and over, not without weeping and gnashing of teeth, to be sure. I mean, there were hard days and still are there hard days. But when the opportunity to move to Edinburgh came, I thought, well, this feels like the right thing, and the people that are wise in my life are, you know, and I think that's a big deal is when you want to be brave, when you want to take some steps, there are people you've got to go, hey, does this feel right to you? Does this sound right to you? Where you know, and those people were all going, yeah, this is right. Edinburgh feels like the right move, and when all that was working out, I was kind of going, oh, okay, well, I know what God can do. I mean, I have done this before. Now that I've done this before, I can do it again. And I honestly thought, like you said, when I moved to Edinburgh, I kind of thought, okay, I guess I'm going to live in the UK for the rest of my life. And it was about a month before I was scheduled to come back home for Thanksgiving because my mother insists that all the children be in the house at Thanksgiving. So I was coming home for Thanksgiving that it just came real clear, like, oh, the right thing for me to do next is to move back to Nashville. And this was just a short season, and I'm so grateful for it. And I would love a chance again. But, yeah, it was there have been some interesting moves in the last 6 years. But I don't think that's what determines courage either. I don't think your ability or your chances or your opportunities to move to other cities or other states or other countries, I think you could stay in the same city you grew up in your whole life and still live a really brave life.
Sure. Well, and let's talk a little bit, because you move into a section of the book that I think is really great about understanding how you are loved and cultivating a community of love. And how would you say, mm-hmm. Annie, love allows us to be brave, allows us to step out, to have that, you know, to have that surrounding us. And what does that look like?
Yeah, you know, I think that love almost feels like our safety net in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I know when I am out doing a brave thing or attempting a brave thing or trying something new or do, you know, so for me, sometimes, a lot of times it looks like I'm going to a brand new speaking event that I've never done before, a crowd I've never been in front of before. And I know no matter how that event goes, when I go home, there are people there who love me and who don't love me based on performance and don't love me based on, I don't have to come home and replay my event to them and then decide then whether I'm worthy of love, right? Mm-hmm. So there are just these opportunities when you let people in like that, when you have friends and family that care for you, which sometimes there are seasons where there are a lot of them and there are seasons when it is one friend or two friends that you're like, man, when I need someone to remind me that I'm loved, that I'm allowed to fail, that I can try things. Because I think trying things and them not working out isn't necessarily failure. When things don't work out, you just try something new, right? You just try something else. And so, but having people who love you and you feel like they're caring for you and are part of your life just gives you the opportunity to be a little bit braver.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and in light of that, you actually talk, and I referenced this when I introduced you, about how you are single. And of course, many of us mm-hmm. who are walking the road of singleness, it's not like we were 15 and we're like, if there's one thing I'm going to be, it's single when I'm in my 30s, you know?
Yeah, right. So,
but you actually use that as an example. In fact, you talk about the value and even the bravery of holding on and what it looks like to walk through the season you're in. And sometimes just the best thing you can do is trust and be present where you are and I always say, you know, this is loosely quoting Elizabeth Elliot, doing that next thing that's in front of you, mm-hmm. even while trusting, you know, not knowing where you'll be in a year or two, relationally or otherwise.
Right.
What is that looking like for you right now, Annie, where you are just in looking towards your future, but still kind of maximizing the season that you're in?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? That's such a great question because that's something that me and I have a counselor that I love. I think really sane people go to counseling. You know, I think it's really smart to go to counseling. And one thing she and I are really working on and talking about is like, what does it look like for me to live, to craft a really full life, whether a man ever moves into my house with me or not?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like how, mm-hmm. and so because it's what is hard for me to be brave about or hard for me to embrace is spending money on housewares and on, so for right now I'm buying a new comforter, which I know doesn't sound brave at all to the average listener, but to me, it is a big statement to me to go, okay, I'm willing to invest in something that I thought was going to be a part of my life when I was married.
Sure.
Like I thought I'd have nice things in my house when I got married. Well, I'm 34 and I'll be 35 in July. So I'm 34 and a half or something. And I need to be brave enough to go, this is the best life that God has for me today. And I need to cheer for that and support that and be brave enough to agree with that, to agree that God has given me everything I need today. And if I want a nicer comforter in my house or if I want a new couch, then I should save and buy those things instead of waiting. You know, I think it's brave to step into something that you thought was for the next part of your life, right? Like for me, that's buying a comforter. Mm-hmm. You know, for some mm-hmm. people, it could be buying a house or going on a trip or, you know, volunteering in a certain part of the church or volunteering in a nonprofit somewhere that you thought, oh, I think my wife and I, or my husband and I, would do that together. Well, I still want to do that, so I'm just going to start doing that.
Right. Yeah. Very true. And you never know where that decision will precipitate another decision and another and another. And, you know, brave people and people who are trusting God attract, not only, you know, for a spouse or whatever, but just even in community, other brave people, and together can accomplish,
yeah, that's right.
Accomplish great things.
That's right. And I think it does take courage to do that. It takes courage to say, I am embracing where I am today.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we barely even scratched the surface in this conversation. I have been talking with Annie Downs about her book, Let's All Be Brave, Living Life with Everything You Have. Annie, thank you so much. And thanks for jumping in here at the Boundless Community. Folks who want to find out more about Annie, you can go to Annie F, as in Frank, or F as in, like, what's your real middle name?
It's even weirder than Frank. It's Foss. F-O-S-S. It's super weird.
Okay, so Annie F, as in Annie Foss, Downs.com.
Right.
And certainly follow her on Twitter, where she's very active, at Annie F Downs. And so you can just latch onto her there and learn more about what she's up to. So Annie, thank you so much for being part of this conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me. I love you guys.